Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Good evening, Sharks fans. Oh my goodness. Are you still catching your breath? It is Wednesday night, May 8th, 2019. And my goodness, the San Jose Sharks pull it off. They win game 7 with a score of 3-2. And we're going to break this crazy game 7 down with you once again. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post game show. Josh Dees, thank you very, very much. We do this live and interactive after every single game. So if you want to be a part of the show, here's how you do it, folks. Multiple ways to interact with us. Chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. You can also hit us up at TealTownUSA. Also, use that hashtag TealTownUSA on the Twitter machine as well. But do yourself a favor. Follow us on all the social media channels. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube channel that you're watching us on right now. Might as well just hit it right there. That's an amazing one. Joining me tonight to break this bad boy down, it is the guy who spells his name the right way and hasn't cleaned his room since 2016. It's Eric Landy.
Yeah, the laundry is out. It's doing its lucky thing, and oh my God, we're going back to the Western Conference. This Western Conference Finals. This is awesome. I think you've got to really applaud and commend the captain for getting back out on the ice and played a hell of a game. The whole team, you know, top to bottom, played a hell of a game.
Absolutely, and they had to hang on every stinking second. Also, want to say hello to the very good friend of mine who reminds me of the score when the Pavelski payback began. It is Mr. Al Martinet.
Heyo, a third round, very reminiscent of 2016. Gonna face the St. Louis Blues, but we'll get into that. Great game also. Salute to Carlisle for another 7-game series. We'll get into all of that, but salute to Colorado for the great series.
Yeah, definitely a great series. I felt like they played us incredibly tight. You know, I feel like they really had a pretty good defensive structure, believe it or not. And you know what? They were a lot deeper than people give them credit for. So it was a great, hard-fought series. Felt like it was a very clean series. Felt that there was just a lot of admiration and respect between the two teams. So, you know, I just commend them on an awesome game as well.
Yeah, and before we get to a full credit to the Colorado Avalanche, their fans, if you're watching, a hell of a series. Much respect to you guys. You guys had a great team right now, if you're down, yes, you're not advancing to the next round. But good news is you also have the 4th overall pick in this year's draft. So, kudos to you. All the best down the road. But let's break down this game. Joe Pavelski makes his return to the Shark Tank. We had numerous reports saying that he had checked into the tank early. His wife said there's a 75% chance that he'll make it in. Sure enough, he comes out to warmups and is hopping off the boards and going crazy. So he's in. Tank's fired up. How can you not get going with a game 7 there? And with that, minute 22 in, Erik Karlsson takes a iffy hooking call after missing it. Not the greatest. I don't think it was the greatest game for Karlsson, but I thought he had some of his moments. But early on, Landy, a minute 22 in doesn't help things getting things going.
Oh, I thought, quite honestly, this was his worst game of the series. Game 6, I felt like he had some good offensive chances, but boy, I don't know if there's something hampering his skating or if he's just kind of being really hard on himself right now. But yeah, it was not great. So look like he stopped skating there and he put the stick out outright to try to, you know, prevent the player from going in and, you know, takes a hooking penalty. Quite frankly, it was lazy.
Yeah, I thought it was lazy, but looking through his stats, he only had a minus one tonight. He had just a zero, and luckily enough, the penalty kill is stronger than usual. So to figure off that, Erik Karlsson, I thought was decent, but the penalty kill was stronger tonight and was really a big factor. I think what was a really big factor also was when McKinnon also went off with that apparent elbow or shoulder injury 3 or 4 minutes in.
Yeah, the injury to McKinnon, I felt, was the turning point. And even going into the game, I felt like when they did the pan across center ice, you could see it in their eyes. They weren't confident. And really, I mean, McKinnon's the heart and soul of that team. He's a little engine that makes that thing go. So, you know, when he took that injury, I just felt like they just got deflated even more.
Yeah, also a lot of forwards were double shifting. I believe also they had 7 defensemen playing tonight. So that was also a huge factor. So with McKinnon out, your best player, you know, the Sharks scored 2 goals during that time. And the Sharks were just on fire. And also Pavelski with the first goal tonight, getting your captain who has been off since game 7 of the last series. Of course, I just would like to be in the tank since that moment, but that had to be a huge, you couldn't have scripted a better moment, a better start for the Sharks.
Completely agree, Al. Broussard took that hooking call at 3:40. That set up a power play that didn't produce anything, but, you know, you could say it was a little power play influenced. About 17 seconds afterwards, Pavelski gets that tip on there to make it 1-0. Burns and Hurdle with the assists on that one. And then at 11:35, Tomas Hurdle gets his 9th of the playoffs from Pavelski and Kane. So Pavelski already doing a goal and assist so far. And in a little over 11 and a half minutes, Landy, what did you take from the Hurdle goal?
Boy, I mean, the Hurdle goal was just, you know, it's right where he likes to set up shop, right in the front. You know, he gets his big butt out in front and kind of boxes the players out. And a beautiful pass by Pavs. I mean, boy, he did not skip a beat tonight, boys. He was there and playing his heart out. You know, Tam was saying it looked like he wasn't scared, you know. And you got to commend him. He's playing with big cojones.
I insert the Logan Couture crotch shot there with when they ever hear cojones for some reason. But 11:59, just a little bit after Hurdle takes the penalty or scores, Colorado takes another penalty. Cole off for interference on Pavelski. So Pavelski getting influencing a power play for the Sharks again. Al, I mean, this is one of those concerning, things going into the Western Conference Final that unfortunately, the Sharks couldn't bang it in, and could have really put this game away if they had maybe scored on a power play or two.
Yeah, it was also, you would have liked to have it been 3-0 going into the second period, but it was still 2-1 going into the second. The lack of consistent offensive pressure throughout the second and going in third period was a huge factor. You know, Colorado, just they played a better game than the Sharks tonight, but Jones was definitely team MVP tonight. And the series, frankly, he was way better than he was, more consistent than the first round. And he's frankly been the 2016 Jones we've kind of seen tonight.
You know, I actually want to respectfully disagree. I felt that the Sharks played a really heavy game. You know, I think it was really workmanlike. I felt like they had a clear objective to how they wanted to play. Felt like there was a lot of zone time for the Sharks. And ultimately, you know, the goals that they did score, I mean, kind of fluky to me.
I mean, I mean, during this time, the board presence I thought was much better. They were working the boards, generating chances that way. I really felt that the board play from games from round one, game five through seven, you know, I felt like that was what the Sharks have really focused on, working the boards, getting puck to defensemen, and screening the goalie. That's been the real big key.
Yeah, and it's about board possession. It's also about puck possession. We've talked about, you know, how these guys do just the littlest things to just get over the hump there. And sure enough, that's what it's going on. So after 20, and then of course Mikko Rantanen, I should say, gets that Pavelski like go, and from Girard and Landeskog with just under about 6 seconds left in the period, a little bit of a backbreaker, boys, to make it 2-1. I thought the Sharks pretty much dominated until they got that 2-1 goal there, Landy.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I don't know. I guess we kind of look at I going in 2-1. I think that you're looking for, it's funny because on the one hand, I felt like they were going in waves, and I felt like they were entering the offensive zone, but every time that the Sharks would go in, you'd get maybe one or two really good possessions, really good cycles, but then there wasn't a follow-through shot. The other thing that I also felt that was really prevalent was how much Colorado pushed back every time the Sharks poured it on. So it was very much back and forth and very, very evenly matched. That was my overall impression. It was just for every punch the Sharks gave, Colorado tried to counterpunch.
And full credit to Colorado for not going. They could have been down and out, especially with the McKinnon injury and everything. So, you know, Colorado wasn't going to go away easily. So after 20 minutes, shots were 12-9 in favor of San Jose. San Jose destroyed Colorado in the faceoff circle, 68-32 on this one. And of course, both teams 0-4 on the power play. You are watching Teal Town After Dark. I'm joined by Eric Landy and Al Martinet. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button down below. We want to welcome officially 1,500 subscribers, along with the over 112 watching. We appreciate all your love and appreciation through our journey, and we're going to keep going. We will keep going into round three. So, and join us in the chat if you haven't already. So, my internet is happening again, apparently.
Yeah. Guess I refreshed.
So if our mics are going bad, it's only a matter of time. Your AOL stops.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it just seems to follow me around. You know, I honestly, the hilariousness that happened with when it happened at AJ's house when we did game five, that was, go figure. But let's move on to the second period, and way to go, Comcast Internet. Carl Soderberg takes a high sticking penalty on Jumbo at 2:08. The Sharks again don't get much on that one. They get nothing on the power play there. And then the controversy, boys. 7:49, Colin Wilson scores, makes it look like gets a turnover, and this one is tied up at 2-2. However, upon further review, and let's give credit to where credit is due, folks. Video coach Dan Darrow, with the keen eye with Landeskog slowly getting off the ice, looked like he was offside originally. And so the Sharks decided to challenge it in a very critical one. Of course, those new to hockey will say if the Sharks missed or failed on that challenge, the Sharks would not only have the goal be allowed, but they would also have a penalty going on there. So would it could have been a disaster, but in the end, upon further review, no goal, according to Toronto. And yep. So, Al, I know you're trying to load it up here.
Yeah, just give me one second.
All right. But, yeah, Landy, I'll ask you about it. What do you think of it?
For one, it should have been called a penalty, right? I mean, it should have been called a penalty on the play because it would have been too many men on the ice. So you didn't get that call. However, upon further review, it looks like Landeskog never touched up. And so, I guess justice? It didn't look like he touched the blue line. It was a really lazy change. And it was funny because the Canadian announcers, and in particular Nick Kypreos, was saying, why isn't his teammate holding open the door? Why aren't his teammates yelling at him to get off the ice? So I don't know if that was a mental mistake or if he was just tired and couldn't do it or what, but that really, really hurt them. I mean, I think that call itself was what cost them the game.
I mean, 2-2, and then the Sharks score about 4 minutes later to make it 3-1. That obviously was a huge factor in that decision. If it's unexcusable for that to happen for Colorado, especially this time of the year. Either you just jump onside or either jump on the boards, allow someone else. But I was curious if Toronto was looking to see if there was too many men on ice. But I wonder if at that point of the game, could they even assign a penalty? I know that the Sharks did have a look and mature penalty, goaltender interference, but I wonder if that was a similar play.
I don't know. I would hope not. But again, just by the letter of the law, he didn't touch up. I mean, that's going to be offsides, and we've seen, offsides kill Sharks goals before. So, it's self-inflicted wound from my perspective.
Yeah, and you can understand why Colorado will be upset. I mean, his left foot looks really close to the blue line, but Toronto ruled that it was not there or up in the air. You hate to have controversy go on, saw some tweets.
For our Canadian viewers, controversy.
Controversy.
Controversy, okay. Yep.
I mean, but to have the controversial call be a huge play in this game, but you guys believe it's the right call?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even, Kevin Lacy is saying the review is for offsides, not too many men. Right. And then like Landy said, Landeskog fully admitted it was his fault for making a sloppy line change. Actually, he's saying, like I said, Landy. So, I mean, Landeskog fully takes the blame for that. And he, as he should. I mean, it sucks, but that's why you got to get off the ice quicker.
And to Colorado's credit, they didn't stop playing. They didn't, make that a point of, hey, we're going to lose because of this offside challenge. That third period, they controlled every minute of it.
Yep.
Give Jones all the credit. I mean, this is his game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that third period, I think this game everybody helped out. I mean, I think it was a defensive effort, an offensive effort, and Jones really standing on his head. And, boy howdy, it's nice to have this Jones back.
Right? It's just like, where were you games 2 through 4, folks? But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you appreciate what you got when you get it done. So the Sharks win the challenge. It remains 2-1 almost halfway through the regulation, and then 12:37, he's off the schneid. Jonas Donskoy, who scored his last goal January 10th, I believe it was the game, or was the game tying goal in Vegas, if not the game winning goal in Vegas, literally pulls the move that he beat Matt Murray in game 3 of the Stanley Cup final. He does a little wraparound, quick turnaround, boom, puck goes in net, top shelf, 3-1 Sharks, a huge backbreaking goal to me for Colorado as they went down by 2, Al.
Yeah, very reminiscent of that Stanley Cup final goal. Good to also see him get off the schneid. It's been about 40 games since he scored a goal. You know, I'm glad that Donskoy's back in the lineup. We really needed Donskoy's speed, and less of Haley in general.
but that's the thing though, right? I mean, when you've got everybody in the lineup, it slots everybody in the right position. You know, putting Nyquist up on the first line, I mean, that was great to help negate McKinnon's speed. You know, and then that trickle effect with Pavelski, with Hurdle, and with Kane. And that was a good lineup. And then it was interesting because I also saw that LeBanc was shifted up onto the second line and Pavelski was shifted down with Jumbo a couple of times. And Donskoy, I mean, honestly, having a skill guy like that on your fourth line, that's a luxury, you know, and it always seems, for whatever reason, him and Melker always have this chemistry, and it's just, you know, it's awesome to have Barkley as your pivot, you know, making really good faceoffs. So honestly, guys, I mean, that's probably one of the more skilled fourth lines we've had in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Sorensen. I wonder what a full Sorensen, a full healthy lineup for the San Jose Sharks is going to mean. I like Sorensen, but he only played maybe 2 consistent games in that 7-game series, game 1 and I would say game 5, but
he was all over a game 5. Yeah. And I totally agree with game 1. But you know, I liked the look with Jumbo with Melker as well, or Jumbo with Goody, because they moved up Gaudreau and put Sorensen down on the fourth line. So, you know, I think all around great team effort. When you've got the team fully constructed as you think it's supposed to be, it's scary. You know, it's one scary lineup, and they can just go wave after wave after wave.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed with the Sharks' effort in the third period. They only had 2 shots in the entire third period. They really did sit back and play prevent defense. They let in an early third period goal, which is not a good sign at all.
We begin that third period 51 seconds in. Jost, again, I think it's his third goal in 3 consecutive games. Wilson and Kerfoot on this one here to make it 3-2, to just give that little bit of scare, to make the Sharks a little scared here. And if they were trying to attempt to use prevent defense on this one, that sure as hell woke them up, boys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but still, the Avalanche continued to pour it on after they scored that goal. I felt like they were hanging on for dear life there. I think kind of towards the middle of the third period, I kind of felt like they kind of got the mojo back just a little bit. And then Colorado had them hemmed in for the last 2 minutes. And Jones, that was when the Jones show started.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And which one do you want to talk about? I mean, we could talk about the 3 on Kerfoot consecutively late in the game. We can talk about just the crazy rush. Like, I mean, we played like almost 6 minutes without a whistle. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's my favorite hockey. Back and forth. Both teams are moving the puck. But of course, it seemed like Colorado was doing most of the moving and Jones was saving our bacon half the time. But give Jones all the credit. This was his game. I do wish the Sharks didn't really do these long center ice passes. You saw Erik Karlsson. I'm looking for some turnover numbers from him, but he gets in this really bad habit of dumping the puck middle ice or the center of the ice. And that just seems like that's a really sloppy play tonight. Same with Burns, but I think he's more conservative, but that's cost us a couple of times this season and series.
Just coming in from Nick Costaneka, Pavelski confirmed for the first time that he had a concussion. So, you know, there you go. But guys, it just really, really hung on for dear life there, and Jones played a hell of a game. And it was going to take a complete effort from everyone to beat this team. You know, this was going to be a real test for the Sharks, because they almost kind of present like a Pittsburgh in the way that they play and rush up and down and stuff. I don't think that they're as skilled defensively, but boy, they sure have some speedsters. So I think it'll be a good change of pace once we get to the St. Louis series. Just a little bit more plotting. I think there might be a little bit more time out there for a guy like Erik Karlsson. But, you know, again, like I said, probably his worst game of the series. And I did not like the turnovers. I didn't like the way that he barked at Dylan in game six. But hopefully, like I said, a more slower series might help him, kind of get his legs back.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see, because the Blues, you know, offense is very similar to the Vegas's offense. Kind of slow, but they have some offensive players, Tarasenko. It's going to be interesting to see, but since the Sharks have already kind of played that, maybe that's kind of refreshing. But I thought Colorado was a very, very bad matchup because of the amount of speed on ice. So since they've gone through that, it's going to be interesting to see if what third round brings, but it is a relief to see what the Sharks have already kind of played at.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they played the quick and really physical game in the first series. They came back into a series where it was just about speed and was able to weather that. Now they're going to go into more of a methodical kind of team, you know, one that likes to lug the puck through and is kind of more plotting in a way. They also had a 7-game series with Dallas, and that was really physical. The thing, though, that I think we could take some nice solace about is the fact that we don't start till Saturday. So it's going to give them time to really heal up. It's going to give them some time to kind of work out some of, the subtle plays that St. Louis brings. And what dare I say it? I mean, give them, again, some more time to rest up. Timo's wrist still looks like it's an ongoing issue. I have no idea what's happening to Kane. He was a guy that I kept looking for in this series because I felt his speed and his size would really come in handy. But again, just a really rough series, and it was a rough series for him in the first round. So I don't know what's going on with him, guys.
Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe something is up with some sort of injury that he sustained in the Vegas series, because he's had his speed, but something's not getting it there. I don't know what it is, and hopefully he finds it pretty soon. Thankfully, he's got a couple of days to work on it.
I think he's been a good player. He's especially been good on, just keeping the puck moving forward, transitioning from defense to offense, but the scoring hasn't been there, and that's kind of been worrisome. Saturday, if that's when the third round starts, maybe he gets rested and healthy. Also, it's kind of great that if it does start on Saturday, you get players like Donskoy and Pavelski to get extra rest.
I wonder, because he wasn't the same since he had that Ryan Reeves fight. And to me, that's kind of, I don't know if he maybe broke his wrist or his hand, but certainly seems like that might be what's ailing him right now.
He hasn't been the same since the Muffin Man.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Oh my God. Let's check in with the chat and see how you guys are doing.
131.
Yeah, we thank you immensely, people. Just wonderfully appreciative everything that you do. By all means, tell your friends, tell everybody that you know. Hit that subscribe button. Also hit that bell that notifies you when we do go on the air through this. So yeah, we will definitely check that. Look at that. Oh, and don't forget. You see that beautiful shirt behind me? Win it for Jumbo. That still exists, folks. That's in limited quantities at tealtownusa.com. So get your shirt today. It is looking wonderful. And trust me, you will want it and you will love it. And we will appreciate you immensely. Any donations along with the shirt purchase helps back to help us with the show and the website and everything. And of course, hit us up on tealtownusa.com for all that good stuff there. So we have size medium, large, and extra large still available for you. So let's see. Daniel Martinez, do you guys think Jones is the best goalie in the playoffs with the teams that are left? So you have
Benny Jones.
Yeah, Binnington, Rask, Jones, and the combination
the guy, the Red Wing, Mazarek? No.
Yeah.
Peter Mrazek. There we go.
Mrazek.
Peter Mrazek and
Curtis McElhaney.
McElhaney, yeah, exactly. The guy that got on waivers from Toronto.
Yeah. I like Rask a lot. But Jones has been fantastic. I think it really does come down to the decor and who stays more consistent throughout. I got to say, though, that the Sharks decor is probably the best. And once again, it comes down to Sharks in Boston.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Tron Disc asking, anybody still emotional from Captain America scoring to boost the morale immediately and set the tone?
Like, again, like I said, a guy with big, big cojones. I mean, that was a gutsy effort. The gutsiest effort I think I've seen a Sharks player play through. And maybe sans Joe Thornton with one leg, but oh my goodness, it. Just crazy. And, you know, of course, the SAP crowd doing such a great job bringing him home and, you know, really just giving a great ovation and stuff. It was good to see.
For me, if the Sharks make it to the fourth round, whatever happens, I think he's the best Sharks captain in Sharks history. If going through all that leadership in Sharks history.
Yeah, I mean, really represents what the Sharks organization is all about is drafting and creating superstars, right? We weren't gifted a McDavid. We weren't gifted, you know, a Crosby or an Ovechkin. So, you know, the team had to create its players, you know, it had to create, you know, their superstars, Logan and Hurdle and Pavelski. I mean, just to show you those. And of course, the Patrick Marleau and to a certain extent, Joe Thornton. I think Joe Thornton was already elite when he came here. But certainly, you know, represents what the Sharks org is all about.
Yeah, I love Marleau. I love, you know, I love Nolan. But if back to back, if or not back to back, but two Stanley Cup Finals appearances, I think solidifies you as the best Sharks captain in Sharks franchise history.
Yeah. I mean, what is this? Fifth time in Western Conference Finals now?
Yep. 2004, 2010, 2011, 2016, and now 2019.
Yeah.
And he's been a part of all of them besides... No, yeah, all of them.
No, he's all... Yeah.
I'm sorry, who?
Pavelski 04?
No, Pavelski wasn't on the 04 team, though.
That's right.
Yep. No, he wasn't on that one. But, yeah, I mean, and guys, think about it. Fourth time to the Western Final in this decade. I mean, kudos to the DW and everything for doing what he's done. So,
What is it? I mean, it's only a matter of time before the statistics finally, you know, bear out for us. You know, for going to the playoffs so many times.
Don't tell that to anyone in Buffalo.
Oh, I know, but. Honestly, just a really great, well-run organization, as far as, you know, consistency and, again, finding players that others are down on, you know, American players, you know, that's the other thing. They're really good at drafting and developing American players. They have now just this excellent track record with European free agents, you know, awesome trade history. So, I mean, honestly, if you're looking for an organization to mimic, us mimicking Detroit, I think was probably the best way to go.
And then Kevin Lacey puts, don't tell that to St. Louis.
of course. I'm going to try to say this name on here, but I know I'm gonna get it wrong. Chaotic Son of Phage. Who is your top Conn Smythe candidate for each team right now?
Oh boy, I don't know. Top Smythe.
That's a good question. Huh?
Conn Smythe candidate, and I'd have to go either Logan or Hurdle. I mean, for the points, I think it's got to be Logan, though.
Al?
Jones can't win that, right?
Has to be. No, points. He can't. No, he can't.
Conn Smythe?
Yeah. I would say that you have to look at what happened after game five and say, it's a different team, the Sharks. I would definitely vote Jones. Even though I think Hurdle has been a key factor in rounds 1-2 it's so far, but it's either between Hurdle and Jones.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, guys, that I want to emphasize that Joe Thornton brought up, and I was watching the Sportsnet feed again, and they had an awesome interview with Jumbo after the game, but they just have a great mix right now of veterans, of young players, of, you know, players in their prime, players that are, you know, starting to peak at the right time. It's just a really, really organic kind of mix. And the other thing that I wanted to say was, have we seen a more tight-knit group of players? To me, it doesn't seem like it. To me, it seems like it's Joe and all of his kids, basically.
2016?
Well, 2016, they played for each other a lot, but I don't think the 2016 team could have rallied and gotten Pi Vegas. If you put the 2016 team in the same position that the 2019 teams was in game seven, I don't think that team would have moved forward.
So you're just talking pure chemistry wise.
Yeah.
Okay. The 09 team was pretty good, but didn't have a lot of chemistry locked to it. The 04 team I thought was pretty good, but chemistry I thought was not there. I think it's either the 2016 or potentially this year's team, neck and neck.
Another person bringing up too, Mark Edward Vlasic being a good Conn Smythe candidate. Yeah, that could be a really stealthy dark horse. I like that.
I completely agree on that one. I'm with you guys. I'd say it's either Pavelski or Logan Couture or even Hurdle to go with the way.
Defensemen don't really win that Conn Smythe because they don't usually get the points.
No, Duncan Keith won it 1 year, right?
Yeah. Ryan Leach won it in 94 with the Rangers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Burns, but yeah, I don't, Haley for Smythe. But yeah, no, I think Vlasic was really good in this series. I mean, he did a hell of a job shutting down MacKinnon. Boy, that guy. At the end of that series, he hated seeing the number 4 and 4.
I mean, Erik Karlsson wasn't on the same line as Nathan MacKinnon. That was intentional. And also, Erik Karlsson was just bad on defense throughout the entire series. So maybe this is a do-over for round three. Maybe get a better Erik Karlsson that actually takes care of the puck, but I'm not holding my breath.
I totally agree. Just got to keep pressing forward. Got to really, try to get that mojo back for Karlsson. And it strikes me maybe more as like a conditioning rust kind of thing. Like he's still like not 100% there. It seems like the feet are there, but maybe not the hands. So I think his game can round up, but
as long as Erik Karlsson pushes up the puck and at least, create some breath for Jones, I think that's Erik Karlsson's impact on the game. I want him to score some more goals because he hasn't scored in 2019 yet, which is insane. But he'll get there.
Yeah, and one timer, exactly. I agree with you. The Conn Smythe is probably one in the third and fourth round. I totally agree. But right now, I think for me, if Logan and Hurdle really continue the pace, I think it's theirs to lose. The next series, boys, I mean, we take a look at it now. St. Louis is not a joke either. I mean, this is a team that is on the highest of highs right now and are flaming hot. Pretty much anything that they touch, they continue on. So now it's going to basically be the Binnington show versus the Jones show. And, I mean, Jones showed up Grubauer. Well, how are we feeling against him and Binnington?
A young goaltender was once a backup. Oh boy. I mean, this series is going to be quite an interesting one. Both teams played hard. Both had to go deep into their second round series against a very good opponent. But St. Louis isn't one to play around. What do you say, Al?
I don't know why, but I think the health issue is going to be a key factor for the Sharks going forward. Yes, the series starts on Saturday, and that's a huge benefit to the Sharks, not to St. Louis. If this series started on Friday, I think St. Louis would have an edge. But for some reason, I do think this series is either going to go 5 or 6 for the Sharks. I feel confident saying that. I think there's more weapons for the Sharks compared to St. Louis, and our decor is probably going to be more impactful and similar to Colorado.
Not to mention that, and Ryan O'Reilly still not at 100%, so.
Yeah. And this is similar to Colorado, another backup goaltender. How hot can he possibly be? And I know during the regular season, Sharks face a backup goaltender and he goes on a hot streak, but I just don't see that happening 4 games in a row in the playoffs.
Here is the schedule for the Western Conference final. Game 1 will start Saturday night at 5 p.m. So that looks like that'll be a NBC game on your local NBC station. That remains to be seen. Game 2 will be Monday night, May 13th at 6 p.m. Yes, that's 6 p.m. local time. So just a heads up on that one, because TV gets more of a say for the scheduling now that we're down to one game a night. So game 2, Monday, May 13th at 6 p.m. The series will shift to St. Louis starting Wednesday, May 15th at 5 p.m. Game 4, Friday, May 17th at 5 p.m. at St. Louis. If necessary, game 5 will be Sunday, May 19th, and that is a 12 noon start. So that, again, that is probably a national broadcast on your local NBC station. Check your local listings for that. Game 6, Tuesday, May 21st, 5 p.m. And if necessary, game 7, May 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Tank. The Sharks have put out that the tickets will go on sale tomorrow at noon. So more information there, log on to sjsharks.com for that one. But
I one thing that I am kind of looking forward to though in this next series is the fact that I don't have to see Colorado's PK. I thought that the Colorado PK did a hell of a job. I think it probably was Grubauer. But yeah, and I'm just looking over the stat sheet tonight, boys. Sharks slaughtered the Avalanche in faceoff 62-38.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. That was not good at all. 11 giveaways for the Avalanche, 18 blocks, 27 hits for the Avalanche, 31 for the Sharks, and both going 0-for-3 on the power play. Avalanche with 29 shots on goal. Sharks 27.
Hey, Jay. If the Sharks win the cup, Jumbo rides into the sunset on the biggest effing rooster you've ever seen.
Hey, do your thing, Jumbo. Do your thing.
You do your thing. Wish it happened against Boston in February. So,
everybody who's worrying about Bennington, you know what I have to say? I have to say this. We got past Marc-Andre frickin' Fleury. I think we can get past some other guys. The Sharks kryptonite and they beat them. So yeah, Bennington's on a hot streak, but every hot streak kind of comes to an end. And consistency for a young goaltender, it's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but if Carolina, if you could do me a favor and not allow a Boston team to get to a finals, that'd be amazing.
Yes, yeah. I think a lot of it. AHE's right. Grubauer was pretty damn good too. He had a hell of a series, boys.
Yeah. Grubauer, honestly, stole game six. Felt like they really put it to the Sharks game two. I tip your hat to him. He's going to be a good goalie, and I'm glad that. Hats off to the Avalanche, really. They played a hell of a series, and they're going to be a perennial powerhouse, filling in the depth a little bit. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Central Division, and I think for a long time. It's kind of interesting to see how, when MacKinnon was drafted, he was going to be the generational player, and to see him ascend to superstar status, this is just kind of his coming out party, and it's going to be his league for a long time. Don't get me wrong, I love Connor McDavid, but MacKinnon is just like, he reminds me of Eric Lindros with just the size, with the speed, the shot, just a hell of a skater.
Yeah. Thank you, Ottawa. This is a problem we're going to have to deal with in the Western Conference for a long ass time.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kale Makar made his career in 2 weeks. Hell yeah. That kid is going to be something special in Colorado for sure.
He already is. He's got elite vision. He's got the vision of a forward, of a playmaking forward, and very good defensively. I was impressed with him and Gerard. I felt like that was their best defensive pairing. Johnson played a pretty good game, and Zadorov was a kind of a pest. But, boy, I think that the most efficient, every time that they had the puck, they broke it out the most efficient out of that D-core.
For the Sharks and Blues, each team won one in regulation, and the Sharks won on Teal Town USA Day at the Tank in overtime 3-2 there. So... Sharks 2-1 on the series. Blues were 1-1-1 for that matter. So,
all right.
Well, I would say it would be time for the wraparound, or as some people like to call it,
the reach around.
But unfortunately, there weren't any NHL games playing there. So, it's getting to that time of the year where, unfortunately, it just did not happen. But you know what? We'll give you some love here, just for the sake for all of you.
Have the goddamn company. common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It was an honorary reach around.
Wow.
Well, should we end it there, boys?
Oh, boy. I was going to say
the AHL version if you want.
Yeah, I was going to say right now.
Oh, that's just a tease.
I'm not even going to go there. The crazy game in San Diego in the Pacific Division final in the AHL, the goals are up 6-5, up to nothing in that series against Bakersfield. The Charlotte Checkers sweep the Hershey Bears with a 5-2 win in tonight's game. Iowa evens up the series 2-2 with the Chicago Wolves as they won 2-1 in that one. Those are your update scores on there. And that's all we have for an NHL wraparound, for a hockey wraparound on this evening for sure. So, yep. So, all right. Well, Nick Neftap is saying, Puck, I don't think he answered the question. I think Wisconsin Smythe for four teams, not just go Sharks. Good reach around. So pick your guys for each team too, besides the Sharks boys.
I'm gonna have to look up Carolina's roster, to be frank.
No, I like Slavin from Carolina. That kid is having a hell of a game. I mean, yeah, that defense score. Him and Aho. I mean, talk about a team that's coming out and really, you know, opening some eyes. They're going to be good for a long time too. For Boston, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say for me in Boston because I felt like the top line hasn't really been like doing a lot for me. Charlie McAvoy's been playing really well, and Jake DeBrusque, but you know, those are really the only guys that I, you know, felt like they're, you know, kind of pulling the weight there. I mean, Rask, and then over on St. Louis, I mean, how can you not have it be Bennington? I mean, you know, the kid is just playing lights out.
Mm-hmm. Al, what would you say?
I don't feel comfortable. I don't know the other three teams well enough.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
So you agree with Landy?
Yes. I'll go with the political answer and says whatever Landy says gets my vote.
Oh, that's asking for trouble right there, man. Come on.
How can I screw up these even more?
Oh, goodness. I got the tagline tonight.
Whatever he said 2 minutes ago, I approve of.
Wow.
So asking for predictions, guys, who do you guys have in the East?
My heart says Carolina, my mind says Boston.
Boston in five.
Yeah, I give them the gentleman's sweep too. I think Brad Marchand's just gonna run right down their throats, and it's gonna give a hell of a time for Sebastian Aho, which sucks because talk about a guy that is not deserving of, you know, the accolades that he gets. I mean, insofar as his attitude and not his play on the ice, he's a damn good player, but just a real horrible attitude from a player, in my opinion. I have Boston in five as well.
Go ahead.
Look, go ahead.
I also said that Marchand keeps his interviews 30 seconds to a max.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel
There's
Martinez.
A prediction.
I agree with you, Daniel Martinez, saying the NHL gods are wanting Sharks versus Bruins Cup final. I agree. I think that's what's going to happen. And I feel like in our series, I feel like this is going to be a 5-6 gamer. You know, I feel like the Sharks are going to serve at home, you know, a 2-0, go back to St. Louis, get the split, and then, you know, win it on home ice, game five, I think is where I would place it.
Okay.
And to go throwback to years ago, Landy, Al, you ignorant sluts. Don't you know that Mr. Game 7 is with the Carolina Hurricanes and this team is of destiny And you know how much more it's going to piss off Don Cherry that he might have to do a game in Raleigh, North Carolina? Oh, my goodness. I say I'm going to go on a limb and say Carolina in seven because, like Gabriel Cruz just said, Carolina in seven because they have nothing to lose. So
here's my point about the Sharks, and this is why the Angel wouldn't want to have the Sharks in the Stanley Cup is that the last time they were in the Stanley Cup is that they had the
lowest ratings. Oh, good. He timed out when he was about to say that. yeah, Al. Yeah, we'll just go with that. No, honestly, though, I think the other two teams in the East don't scare me. Boston, I think Pastrnak has really been not great for Boston. I feel like the Sharks have more speed on Boston. To be honest, I wouldn't want to see Carolina. You know, in my mind, I think Carolina is the tougher draw because of the speed. Excuse me. And we just saw how, you know, the Avalanche's speed, you know, was kind of playing on the Sharks. So, you know, I think Carolina's the tougher draw, in my opinion. But St. Louis is not going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, no. No, I think the St. Louis squad, I think, is even tougher than the one they played in 3 years ago. I mean, and for that matter, I think the Sharks are a little more tougher in the than the team that they had 3 years ago. I think they have a little more depth, but at this point, you know, it remains to be seen. And that, my friends, is why they play the game. Oh yes, that is right. There is a puck to be given, AJ. If just let that be aware, and everything, we'll get that to you as soon as we possibly can. So with that, we'll bring a close to this edition. We will let you celebrate, everyone. Again, the Sharks advance to the Western Conference Final by virtue of their 3-2 win in Game 7 over the Colorado Avalanche. In case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. Of course, smash that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. We do this live and interactive after every single Sharks game, and we appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. We have over 100 people. So do yourself a favor, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell. That notifies you when we go on the air after every single game. And don't forget, the round is over. So AJ Rocket and Jerk will be on to do a recap of the entire round 2 on the Pucknologist. That should be coming out around Friday, if I read that correctly on the chat. So be on the lookout for that. Always a good time when they're on there, for sure. So, and with that, final thoughts and where the people can find you, Mr. Al Martinet.
Third round. So third round, glad to be on the way to the Stanley Cup. This was a hard-fought game. Give Jones all the credit. And, of course, great overall effort. Hopefully we see more of Kane in round 3. He might be an X-factor going forward. I would like to thank all the Super Chats that have donated tonight. And we hope to see you next round. So, for me, I'm Alex Martinet going forward. You can find me at Twitter, Al Martinet, free to chat hockey, and everything else. I'll see you guys later.
Thanks very much, Al. And to my fellow Eric, who spells it the name right way, Landy, your final thoughts and where do people can find you?
Well, my final thoughts are, let's go touch that Clarence Campbell trophy. you know, because they didn't touch it the last time, so they got to touch it this time. Pavelski, I'm looking at you. And as far as where you can find me, you can use my first name. That's Eric. My last name, Landy, on all the social media garbage.
Thanks, guys. We'll give a shout out to AJ, who's giving up the gifts tonight and put up that sweet hype video. If you haven't seen it yet on our YouTube channel, make sure you check it out. I am Eric Hura. You can always find me on Twitter and the Instagram at PuckGuy14. And hey, you know, this thing, this beautiful beard is going to get a little bit longer, and I love it. So, of course, hit us up on all the social media. Tealtown USA, you can find us everywhere pretty much. Hit us up on tealtownusa.com. You can find your very own Win It for Jumbo shirt. If you haven't seen it already, I mean, it is a beauty. If I can pull that up here, because, you know, darn
thing. And we can say As Seen on TV.
Yes, As Seen on TV with Brody and John Root. They've been rocking one, so why don't you get one? Excuse me while I go grab mine. Hold on.
Yes, he's got the product right there, folks. There it is. Look at that skunk stripe. Eric Kura doing his best Vanna White impression.
Buy now. Go. going. We need to sell all of them to afford all of our.
Yeah, right. Limited supply. All right, Eric, take us home.
All right, thank you guys. Yes, I heard you, Vanna White. Yes, I've hugged her. You know.
Whoa.
On camera too.
Oh. All right.
With that, before I get in trouble, we'll wrap this up here. Check out Pucknologist. That'll be coming up on Friday on TealTownUSA.com. Of course, get one of the jumbo shirts as well. We will be back with you for another edition of After Dark following Game 1 of the Western Conference Final between the Sharks and Blues. The game starts at 5 p.m. That will be on your local NBC station. So if you are in the Bay Area, it is NBC Bay Area. We investigate. And with that, we shall see you on Saturday night. And until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Let me put this graphic up and get us out of here. Get ready, folks, because the Western Conference Final is coming to San Jose. And, of course, the graphic doesn't want to work. That's perfect.
You had one job.
Hey, at least I got the tagline right, all right?
One job.